Imagine a pill that can improve your focus, your memory, your sleep. A catalyst to improve your brain chemistry. Dr. Bill's Cognition Plus is truly the smarter in an hour pill. A combination of amino acids, trace minerals, and B vitamins, Cognition Plus is made with specialized herbal extracts that will enhance and support brain function. Our customers say,
I feel more focused.
My memory's getting better.
I can work longer with more useful hours.
Power up your neurotransmitters that have been depleted, like dopamine and norepinephrine. Stimulate the release of others, like serotonin and oxytocin. Improve circulation and energy production. Protect your mind and your loved ones today. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Cognition Plus at 888-212-8871 or go online to NutriMedical.com. That's 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com. And listen to the NutriMedical Report on the Genesis Radio Network with open lines every weekday. NutriMedical.com, bringing nutrition and medicine together.
This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Back to the NutriMedical Report. We have Harley Schlanger here. And Harley has a lot of major updates to give us regarding events happening around the world. And there's a lot of events happening. We had, of course, the Iran deal is now revoked, at least by America. Within 48 hours, Iran struck Israel, and Israel struck back, knocking out 71 Iranian missile silo sites and other military sites inside of Syria. Things are heating up. I don't think Russia is going to do anything about this. The situation, I think, will eventually stabilize, but it's obvious that Israel is not going to tolerate Iranian military bases right beside them in Syria, and neither are they going to tolerate the massive buildup of Russian bases there as well. The thing is moving forward, I think, with Mr. Kim Jong-un, because Xi wants to still continue to do business with America, which means the Belt and Road is on, and we can talk about that with Harley, because I think it was mainly not so much Trump doing this deal, but actually Xi in the background convincing Kim that they had to make a deal and denuclearize, or it was going to affect trade with China and America, wasn't it?
Well, what do you think, can you hear me, Bill?
You're sort of modulating a bit. Try again. Yeah, go ahead. Try again.
Okay. All right, I was saying that's a very important point, because the Trump-Xi relationship is at the heart of what's happening now between North Korea and the United States.
That's the key issue,
President,
isn't it?
Trump, Trump and Xi trust each other.
Right.
And the trust is based on a joint, no-nonsense approach to dealing with the security problems that were there because of the Bush and Obama regimes.
Right.
Especially Obama. Obama cut off any potential for working with China by his machinations in the South China Sea and his pushing of the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which would have excluded China.
Now, how can you have a Trans-Pacific Partnership without China involved? Is that ever insane? And so this is like a ranting of a maniac with Obama doing this, when you think you've got a major emerging, not only economic power, but whatever power emerges economically, it's going to have a military power as well. And we have to face it. China is there. It's actually five times the economy of Russia, although Russia has many more nukes and so on. It's been around longer. We have to face the fact that China is emerging as a major power, and we can work with them. But we have to actually make sure they don't steal our intellectual property, that they aren't controlling these Belt and Road systems across the continents of South America and Africa, etc., but that they're contributors to it. And if there's an international organization, why would you want to exclude them? It doesn't make sense, does it?
Well, the key thing with Obama is that he was not acting on American interests. He was acting on behalf of financial interests above the national economic interests of the United States.
Who, pray tell, would those be? Would they be British interests or City of London interests, or who would they be?
Well, City of London and Wall Street, that have a vested interest in preventing the emergence of another economic power on the planet. Now, if China were a traditional imperial power with a history of raiding other countries and invading other countries and using their military capabilities to destroy other nations, then we would have a right to be concerned about their growing economic strength. This is the whole point in the argument of the Thucydides trap, the idea that when one empire is on the rise and another is on the decline, war is pretty much inevitable. But China does not have a history like that. And the president of China, Xi Jinping, has made clear that he sees the future success of China's economy is in a win-win, mutually beneficial relationship with other nations. Now, that's the idea that the United States had when it was founded. That was the idea of the good neighbor policy, which was common for Franklin Roosevelt, Eisenhower, and John Kennedy. The idea that if you work in ways that help other countries develop, then it will help us. That our trade is dependent on a certain kind of fairness, where we're not just going in and exploiting cheap raw materials and cheap labor, but helping countries develop. But since the 1971 break with the Bretton Woods system, the U.S. has been on the side of the International Monetary Fund and the international bankers who believe that global economics is a zero-sum game. If we don't win, we lose. And the idea is we have to win at others' expense. And this is why we, the United States, historically, in the last half century, is responsible repeatedly for coups, whether it was in Iran in 1953, Guatemala, the Dominican Republic, Libya in 2013. We've done this repeatedly. And this is why Trump, when he ran for president, said he's going to shift to a policy that puts America first. But by putting America first, he means working mutually with other countries for common interests.
Yeah, and by the way, this is a change in policy from previous communist regimes before Xi, because the previous regimes had the idea, we win-win, you lose-lose. And Xi is actually starting to agree with the idea, we have to have protect American and European intellectual property if we're going to have a proper deal. Well, 3 or 4 years ago, before Xi took power, they put in a policy where American companies couldn't own more than 49% of a company, and they had to surrender all their intellectual property. The bill that that our Senator Marco Rubio is putting forward is going to put an end to that. And I think that we can still work with China, despite the fact in the past we've had some bad discussions and bad actions and bad blood. I think we have to, because like any major power, you have to figure out a compromise that's going to work, that you can still do business, because business prevents war. People need to understand that if countries that are not trading are warring, aren't they?
Bill, Rubio's bill is a terrible bill, because it's primarily aimed at forcing Chinese banks to open to the free market central banking system of the United States, England, and Europe. Marco Rubio doesn't give a damn about American jobs. He's a free trader. He's on the side of
I agree that I haven't seen the details of this bill, but I don't imagine there's two sides to this. The other side is the Chinese right now are actually thinking about devaluing their currency in order to currency dump, or they do investment patterns that are also predatory. But I think both those can be gotten rid of. In other words, you don't have to have the extreme of Marco Rubio. I'm sure Trump is going to put together policies that will be much more win-win for both sides.
Let me tell you how the Chinese view it. They see the United States as devaluing the dollar for comparative advantages. Secondly, the Chinese are...
I don't know how they can support that. I see no evidence of that, but I do see really strong evidence that the yuan has been devalued purposely to be able to currency dump.
The yuan has been protected recently at a higher rate. The dollar bill... Look, the dollar has fallen 20%. Versus the euro in the 2 years I've lived in Europe. There's no reason for that. That's a devaluation by the United States. And the U.S.
How do you think they're devaluing it, though? Because when people money move capital into America...
Money printing by the Federal Reserve is devaluing the dollar.
What you're saying is they're actually printing more dollars and they're diluting the currency pool, you mean.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Now, secondly, The other thing that the Rubio bill does is it focuses primarily on financial services with the idea that this is America's great strength in the world, that the Federal Reserve and the New York City Federal Reserve, the central banking system, that China has to open itself up, which would mean that the Chinese would not be investing in new physical production and instead would be pouring the dollars they're holding into the speculative bubble. That's what Rubio and people who say China is not open to free trade, why they want a bill against China. Now, there are legitimate...
So what do you think is likely to happen, though? Because I don't agree that Rubio's bill will go through, but something akin to kind of leveling the playing field, because you got to admit that China's done some things in the past that are not fair.
I was just going to get to that, Bill, if you let break off.
Oh, I hear the music, so I guess we're both cut off. When we come back, we're going to hear your response, because it's important. I think that the cooler heads will prevail, and you're right. Trump will probably work out some kind of a deal with his financial people that will work out the details so that both sides feel they've walked away winners. And we need to hear that analysis when we come back. There's a couple of areas which I think need to be dealt with. We can't have what they started a few years ago, where companies had to hand over their intellectual property. I had one of the wind vane companies that actually makes us wind power on the program a few years ago, and they actually basically had their patents and everything stolen. Now, that policy can't work with a new China under Xi and Trump. Trump wants actually to be able to import more goods into China, so we cut the trade deficit by actually importation into China, not just the amount of exports to America from China. If you follow the policies of Marco Rubio, which is one where the Fed Reserve kind of calls all the shots, that's not going to work. It might cut the trade from China to America, but it's not going to improve the balance where we actually import into China American-made, manufactured, and other goods, including, say, pork and other things. So what there's a big difference between what Rubio wants to do and what Trump is trying to do with his advisors, and what you're recommending under the LaRouche Foundation, which is improve trade into China. And you mentioned on the break that there's a big difference. The number of the 70 nations that trade with China have had a significant increase in trade into China. I think you said 20%, and a 7% increase from China to the 70 nations, around the world.
Yeah.
Increased trade into China is what our goal is, isn't it?
Yeah, give me a minute to develop this point, because the key economic advisor to Xi Jinping has met twice now with U.S. officials in Washington. His name is Liu He, H-H-E. And what he's advocating is exactly what Jack Ma talked to Trump about and what Trump and Xi Jinping talked about.
Right.
Instead of seeing trade as a zero-sum game,
right,
where one side tries to make profits by selling more goods to the other side, they're discussing reciprocal trade agreements.
Right.
Now, let me separate for a moment this question of intellectual property and other things, because they are talking about that. And the Chinese realize they're going to have to change the way they've been doing business with the United States, and Trump is clear on that. I think that's going to be less and less of a problem.
I think it can be swept away pretty quickly, especially when you have conjoint agreements and don't steal or try to repatent under Chinese patent. And there's been a massive surge in patents and copyright the last few months, so we have to make sure that part of the deal is dealt with. Yeah.
When you have Chinese firms collaborating with American firms, for example, where the American firms are brought in as partners on trade, partners in construction and things of that sort, which is what Trump is negotiating.
Right.
But the problem with Rubio is this guy is a skunk. He's controlled completely by the global cartels, especially financial and insurance.
Right.
And on these policies, these are the Obama trade policies that Rubio is pushing. This is not Trump's policy. And this people have to be clear on this. The Republican Party is a free trade party right now, not the party of Lincoln. And Trump wants to remake the Republican Party as the party of Lincoln, which it was originally. Right. Now, this is an important distinction because Lincoln was an advocate of a credit policy that put credit into investment in physical production, starting with infrastructure and new industries. This is what China is doing. What Rubio and the people who support him want is that China take the money they've made from selling goods to the United States, from buying U.S. treasuries, and put it into the speculative markets to back up derivatives trading, to back up swaptions and options and things of that sort. And it's a scam. They need more liquidity for the bubble. And the Federal Reserve, if they start raising interest rates, will no longer be a completely unlimited source of credit to keep a bubble going. So Rubio and others are saying we should force China to allow their banks to be open so American bankers can go there and get the Chinese dollars and get the Chinese yuan flowing into these international pools of liquidity, in other words, into the casino. The Chinese will not allow that. So Rubio is trying to sabotage what Trump is trying to do.
Do you think because let me insert one comment, though. The Chinese can print as much dollars as the Federal Reserve, because remember, you have two competing financial systems. The Chinese made a copy of the SWIFT overnight transfer system, which Russia is now using, and other BRICS nations are starting to adopt. They're two competing, if you want to call it, machines for generating capital. And somehow there's got to be a kind of a conjoint kind of treaty between how these are going to work. It can't be a total surrender.
Bill, they're incompatible. The Western system of the Federal Reserve, the Bank of England, the Central European Central Bank is primarily designed to protect a speculative system. They do not want credit to go into physical production because they don't think they get the returns that they need to cover the unsustainable hundreds of trillions of dollars of debt.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. In other words, the debt is so great they have to have speculative banking that doesn't want physical production of new industries and new products. They want to just do speculative stuff. So you're saying the speculative system of the West would destroy China is what you're saying.
Well, it's already destroying the West. And right. The reason we need to enforce free trade agreements is so we can destroy developing sector countries that are starting to grow by having rejected these speculative models. Look, something just interesting happened.
Oh, that's right. That's very interesting.
Bill,
very interesting,
Professor or Dr. Mahathir Mohamad just got elected as president of Malaysia at 92 years old. What he's famous for is coming out during the 1997 Asian Tiger crisis, the collapse of the Asian bond markets, blaming George Soros and speculators. And in an article in the Wall Street Journal with an interview with him, he said Lyndon LaRouche is right. The London-based speculative system is what caused the crash in Asia, and we're not going to go along with that. We're not going to give money to these bankers. Now, Mahathir was eventually hounded out of office, and now he's been brought back in. Why? Because he wants to have Malaysia integrated into the Belt and Road system and to break completely with the speculative markets of the West. So what we're seeing
other
countries is a move away from George Soros, who is a front man for London speculation.
How likely do you think that's going to happen? I'll tell you what, I think I like the positive attitude of LaRouche to build up new industries and improve trade. I think this is not going to end well. The powers that be are going to fight Trump, who want real free trade. We have a lot of rhino Republicans and Democrats. Yeah. They're globalists. Look at Hillary Clinton. She's a globalist. She's involved with the same thing as Rubio. But my point is, I don't think this is going to at all end well. I think it's going to end nastily.
Whoa. Let me get this in now.
Yeah.
Hillary Clinton and Rubio are on the same team.
I believe you. I totally agree.
With all his problems, Trump is not on that team. And Trump gives us an opportunity to defeat that team. Now,
right.
What's important here is that the Americans have been hornswoggled into believing that free trade is the strength of the American system. The American system was built in opposition to British-centered free trade. That's why we had an American Revolution. And if Trump fully understood that, he could fight this thing much better. Now, the problem with people like Rubio and others is they're willing to put us on the edge of war to enforce this system globally.
Okay, where are you referring to? A financial war or a physical war?
Physical war. Because the reason they're attacking Russia and China and saying Russia and China are a threat is that Russia and China did not submit to the Wall Street City of London rules on banking. They rejected it and are offering an alternative. An alternative that would collapse the financial system of the British central oligarchy.
Oh, okay. I've got an interesting question then to ask you when we come back, because you've laid this out very, very deftly, very deftly. So you're optimistic, and it really, your plans make good sense. In other words, it's like when you got a bunch of kids playing in the backyard, you say, play nice, you know. In other words, don't steal the other kids' toys, work together to build their sandcastle, whatever you're doing. And what that's what Trump wants to do. He wants us to be able to import a couple $100 billion more product into China. He wants them involved, not out of the trade group. In fact, I think Trump has been convinced now, with the people surrounding him, that he wants to actually resurrect, not the Trans-Pacific Partnership that excluded China, but have a partnership that includes China and Russia so that they can build up their own economy, and if you have trade, including trade into their countries of our products, goods, services, etc. And it's a natural process that they're going to repatent it, because there's more engineers graduate just from Beijing than all our engineers and PhD in every hard science in America. People don't realize, if you have that many smart, industrious people, of course they're going to repatent it. They're going to take high-speed rail from Bombardier in Quebec and Europe, and they're going to improve it because they're engineers. 90% of their politicians are engineers. So what I'm worried about, being a pessimist rather than an optimist about this, I'm worried that at some point it's going to get nasty enough where China and Russia are going to start succeeding to the point where the West is going to do something catastrophic. And I know your plan is better, and it should work out better for the world, but I'm pessimistic. What do you think?
Well, here's the point. The pessimism comes from the fact that the criminal, corrupt elites in the West have gotten away with a lot of crimes over the last half century.
Exactly.
But here's the thing you got to look at. At the time of the American Revolution, two-thirds of the U.S. population of the American colonies were pessimists. They thought it was a mistake to go against Britain. While some were neutral and said, well, okay, but don't expect me to help you, two-thirds opposed the idea of breaking with Britain. They said it will never work, they'll crush us, they're more powerful than us, we don't have an army, blah, blah, blah. What happened? The British system couldn't work. They couldn't do enough to crush the desire of Americans to control their own economy, their own country, their own freedom. Now, here's what we have going on in the world today. You've got an American power elite in both parties, in the media, that says there's only one alternative. There is no other alternative. It's the British-American free trade system. And that free trade system has not only harmed the rest of the world, but it's harmed the majority of the American people. The weakness of the elites was exposed by Trump when he went out and said a few truths during the campaign, that Americans are tired of war, we're tired of bailouts, we're tired of being lectured by arrogant people like Hillary Clinton. And Trump won the election on that. The problem is he was convinced not to continue the campaign as president, but to moderate, to bring in the other side. And that's why we're in a stalemate right now, plus the fact that the opponents of Trump ran this dirty operation against him for the last 2 years. Now, what most Americans don't understand is that you not only have an alternative system coming into place with China, Russia, India, Japan is moving in this, South Korea is supporting it, Trump is open to it. It's a new trading system based on national sovereignty and national credit policy. Now, Trump would have to, let me just finish, he'd have to sell this to the American people, which he could do if he were fully convinced of it. Now, here's the other point. The only countries that are continuing to support this transatlantic system, the London Wall Street system, are the European countries under the dictatorship of the European Union,
right,
which is very weak right now. And we're about to see more chunks break off. There's going to be a new government in Italy that will include the Lega Nord, the Northern League, which sees itself as an Italian Trump party moving against the EU and against the euro.
Now, do they have the capital, though, to be able to move away and actually reinstitute their national currency?
Not by themselves. Bill, not by themselves.
Yeah.
However, in the last weeks, we're seeing a seismic shift occurring in Germany. And this is, I want to, just give me a minute to get this out, because it's not covered in America. Americans
right.
don't know a damn thing about this.
Right, right.
The Germans were extremely upset with the major parties in the last election. Merkel
right.
was punished. The Social Democrats had their lowest total since the 1880s.
Right.
And you had a number of alternative parties, left and right, emerge in the 12 to 15% range. Now, the new American ambassador to Germany, he's been in office 3 days. He's making the rounds telling the Germans, get out of Iran, get out of Russia. Now, the former foreign minister of Germany, who's a very moderate guy, Steinmeier, said, look, we expect you to present the American perspective, but don't tell us what to do with our economy. What we're seeing inside the major political parties in Germany that have lost so much is a resurgence of a certain kind of economic nationalism. Germany is an extremely powerful economy. If they were to go over with Russia and China into a petro-yuan system, into a trading system with Eurasia, then the United States would be left extremely weakened. Macron would probably crumble in France because he's sort of an Inspector Clouseau type. The Italian situation is moving away from that. The only real allies that the neocons in the United States would have would be Netanyahu, the Saudis, and the existing, failing, collapsing government of the United Kingdom. So we're seeing a seismic shift. Now, what you're saying that's absolutely true is that the elite in charge right now will not give up their system without a fight, including the possibility of triggering a nuclear war over Iran or even over sabotage of the North Korea agreement.
Yeah. I don't think that's what's going to happen. I'll tell you what I predict. The big thing that people aren't waiting for, which I want to get your response on this too, is artificial intelligence. And we're moving toward an AI system which will control all transactions on the planet. If America gets and the West gets there first, in spite of the fact it's a speculative economy that's crushing new manufacturing, new production, etc., and they want the speculative economy, this is a nightmare for the world, because what you're saying is the emerging system that China has in these other countries is national-based. In other words, nation-states could then expand their economy to where they have minerals and people and scientists and engineers to expand it. But let me finish, though. What I'm saying here is I'm pessimistic because I know Trump has been moving forward, but he's getting so much opposition. Even people are getting news media like Rubio. It's my feeling that as he moves it forward, there's going to be some dirty deals going on to try to cut him off. Just, for example, look at the omnibus bill that he had to get the military. I'm very suspicious that at some point, if a West actually relaunches their AI system, by the way, because they took care of employees working at the Virtual World Project at Schriever Air Force Base, we're decades ahead of every other nation on Earth in artificial intelligence. We're way ahead of China or anybody else. And what people don't understand, if AI takes over finances and they're controlling transactions, so they declare the U.S. dollar or any other fractional currency in your pocket is illegal, has to be in their supercomputers, and they come to China and say, hey, your banks have to be open like Rubio is, that'll crush China and any other nation. And I'm concerned about it because the response to this kind of crushing will eventually lead to war. And that's what I'm concerned about.
They're crazy enough to do it, but here's the point that I think you're missing.
Right.
What are the American people going to do if our standard of living continues to drop? What are the American people going to do if they see more wars, more bailouts for Wall Street, more billionaires, and more of the middle class sliding into economic anxiety and deprivation?
Well, I think it's temporarily increasing right now, although Trump and his phase two of his economic policy wants to make the tax breaks for the middle class, et cetera, permanent rather than sunsetting in 2025.
Yeah, but it's not working. The Trump people are getting briefed by Goldman Sachs with lies about wages. Wages are still stagnant. Productivity is falling in the United States. So when we get back, I'll just go through this a little bit because I've seen the reaction.
Yeah, I know. I know there's mixed bag there. So you're right. Some wages aren't going up as much as they should have. Others are going up. And production is definitely increasing. Good discussion on the break. I want you to repeat that and kind of you mentioned the report's actually the talk about the actual real economy and the actual wages. There's a little uptick with the tax break, but the actual wages of Americans, you're saying, is according to this, what's the name of the report, by the way?
It's from the Bureau of Labor Statistics.
Right, so the actual wages are not increasing, and of course we're not talking about just wages but the cost of living. And so what you're saying is actually the middle class is sliding, even though there's more employed. Say in 17 years, the actual wages are sliding still, despite the small amount of bonuses they get, a couple thousand dollars, which helps some. But most of the money, 90% of the money, is going back to big corporations that are actually doing amalgamations and stock buybacks, etc., which isn't necessarily flowing into new equipment and new industry. That's concerning. That's very concerning to hear that, which means even the policy that Trump put in place to try to rebuild the economy, make America great again, MAGA, may not be working because it's being sabotaged by not only Democrats, but rhino Republicans like Rubio and others that are within the Republican Party are basically continuing the same policies of the Democrats, which is to continue the speculative economy. That's scary, isn't it?
Well, this is the point that people don't get. The Bureau of Labor Statistics and also the St. Louis Fed and the Kansas City Fed, Federal Reserve, have some economists who actually do some accurate reporting on the real economy. This
right.
is where figures come out which show how many people who should be in the workforce are out of the workforce. So when you hear these figures about more people are employed now than ever and the unemployment rate is the lowest it's been in so many years, that leaves out 94 million people. Now, of the 94 million, some of them don't want to work. Some of them are actually disabled and can't work. But the vast majority of them are people who are younger, people who have given up looking for full-time work, people who are older, like in their 50s and lost blue-collar jobs. And the actual figures show that when you take out the 2% of the population that's getting huge bonuses and huge amounts of money from stocks and cryptocurrencies and various other kinds of pyramid scams, that for 80% of the employed workforce, the wages are declining. Now, let's just take the example. Someone gets a $1,000 bonus from a company that brings tax money back. Maybe that's a 30-year-old who's working at a minimum wage job who gets $1,000, is still carrying $35,000 college debt, is not paid enough to buy a home or even afford an apartment. Now, the real economy continues to decline because we're not producing value in our economy. We're allowing a handful of people to get super rich from international trade and speculation. Now, the problem here is that Trump had a different agenda when he was elected, including Glass-Steagall, to stop the speculation, including a credit policy for infrastructure. Who sabotaged that? Not the Democrats. The Paul Ryans and the Mitch McConnells, who are part of the Wall Street crew that wants money from speculation. And that's why most of these congressmen became millionaires, because they're getting tips and kickbacks from
right.
the speculative bubble.
So now, would you call this a bear market recession that's occurring because of the speculation, the bear market recession?
Well, it's a bull market right now in terms of stocks overall, but it can't last.
Right.
Because underlying it is no physical production. Let me take this back to the point we were discussing before.
Right.
The Chinese learned something from the best periods of American history, which is when you create credit that is directed through the banking system and the physical production, the whole economy grows 3 to 4% a year. This is what we had in the 50s and the 60s, the golden age of the U.S. economy. Wages went up. There were unions that made sure that workers got money. Now, these unions became corrupted. The whole system went kablooey after 1971. But what the Chinese learned is that if you invest in physical production, you increase the overall wealth. That's how they've lifted 800 million people out of poverty, while we still have over 50 million people in the United States living under poverty conditions. The Chinese are down to about 40 million. So a population, what, three times, four times the size of ours, has less poverty than we have in the United States. We have almost 50 million people who depend on food stamps to have adequate food. Now, is there some fraud in there? Sure, there's some. But it still tells you that children are not getting adequate nutrition because the majority of working families can't afford it. Now, under these circumstances, if President Trump is told by Mnuchin and people of that sort, the Goldman Sachs crew around him, go out and tout the growing stock market bubble as a sign of economic recovery, then he's being set up for a crash. And Trump knew this when he ran for president because he accurately attacked the Hillary people who said Obama has created a robust recovery. Trump said it's not a robust recovery, and he went out to Michigan and Wisconsin and Minnesota and spoke to people who suffered because of the lies of the Obama economy. And now he's being snookered into the same thing.
Right.
So with as long as Trump holds off on Glass-Steagall and holds off on infrastructure and doesn't go full bore with the Chinese in an economic development perspective, I don't mean total agreement with China, but at least work out arrangements so that we don't go into a trade war. If he doesn't do that, the economy will crash at some point, and the people who are running it will blame it on Russia and China and will go to war.
Well, now, we are in a sense war right now with Israel after Trump pulled his deal apart, which he had to in a sense, but the response of Israel, which is way over the top, and you can tell with guys giving the tanker bombers to Israel even during the Obama years, Netanyahu is just waiting for the green light to be able to bomb the Bashar nuclear reactor. This is not going to end well. I'm a pessimist. What I see happening makes me very concerned that Trump's agenda is being kind of perverted, number one, which is what you stated. It has been perverted. And what we're seeing right now is they're coming out with, in the sense of trade offer to China, which is pretty noxious, at least to the Chinese and to other BRICS nations. And I don't think this is going to end well. I know you're optimistic that it will.
Optimistic. Yeah. If we had a president who did what Trump did during the campaign in terms of telling the truth to the American people, he would get support. And people like Ryan, who are already resigning and leaving, would be out, and we'd have an opportunity to get people who actually are committed to the Trump agenda elected. Now, if Trump isn't going to do it, you have to do it, I have to do it, the people who are listening have to do it. Get the facts and go out and tell the people the truth. If the American people accept the idea that we can't change anything, then we will have a collapse and a probable nuclear war within the next couple of years. So either we change it and force Trump to go back to his campaign promises, or we're going to be finished as a nation.
I have a feeling, though, right now he's been preoccupied with all the attacks, like Stormy Daniels' attack. The Mueller investigations were totally over the top crazy, which Mueller, by the way, I think he's got three judges after him now, not two or one.
Yeah, that's the point. Mueller is being opposed by the judges who are saying he's engaging in a systemic abuse of power.
Right.
They're saying that in court, they're calling him unfettered. He thinks he has unfettered authority. You're right. Three judges have attacked him recently. That's the subject of my newest article. But what does it do? It ties Trump down. So where he needs to be talking with Putin, talking with Xi, talking some sense into Netanyahu, giving up this...
Yeah, he's distracted, so he's not actually... Totally on the ball is what you're saying, and it actually increases the chance of some bad decisions being made, in other words.
The only place he's really on the ball is North Korea, and what's he doing there? He's working with Xi Jinping, Prime Minister Abe of Japan, President Moon of South Korea, and Putin. The four of them have put together an approach to North Korea with Trump, which works. Now, if he were to take the same approach to Syria, the same approach to Ukraine, the same approach to Germany, to Iran, we could solve all of these
problems. I'll tell you what, that's not going to work for one ugly reason. It turns out the previous, Dick Cheney, who's, by the way, known in the White House as the Prince of Darkness under George Bush Jr., and Murdoch, who actually owns Fox News, are actually invested in Genie Oil Drilling Company in the Golan Heights. Now, the pending war going on there where the Israelis hit 71 Iranian sites and killed lots of people, including Iranians. I don't know about Russians yet, maybe Russian volunteers. This is really scary stuff. And they have constant air raid sirens going on now in Israel because war could break out any moment.
Well, Bill, people should take my advice. Go to LaRouchePact.com and become an advocate for the U.S. joining the new paradigm.
Yeah, I think that's a positive solution. Although being a pessimist, I see too many powers trying to thwart Trump. I don't know, the stress the man's going through, I hope his health holds up. Because a normal, average person, their health would break down with all the craziness around him. And he's trying to be president at the same time with all these attacks. I think it's insane. Thank you, Harley, to have some common sense and some facts on the table. You did a great job. Thank you.
If you eat nutritional drink that your whole family will love, NutriMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutritious meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutriMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com. NutriMedical.com for the whole family.